Greetings once again. This is Brother Steve with the Daily Inspiration. We're going to have a little bit of an overview and maybe pick out some practical applications in this portion of scripture that we've been looking at, as known as the parable of the prodigal son. First of all, the context of the parable is it is spoken to the Pharisees. In the beginning of chapter 15, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And then he gives him a couple parables. One was about somebody that had 100 sheep and one was lost, and how he went and left the 99 and went and searched for the one that was lost. So he found it. And when he found it, there was great rejoicing, and he told his neighbors to rejoice with him. The other was about a woman who had 10 pieces of silver and lost one, and she swept her house and searched diligently until she found it. And when she found it, there was great rejoicing, and she invited her neighbors to come and rejoice with her. And then he gives the story of what's known as the story of the prodigal son, of this father with two sons. The one wants his goods, and he takes off and spends his money in riotous living and drunkenness and harlotry, and doesn't really give a lot of details of that, but that's kind of the picture that you get. So Jesus is giving this as a warning. Then you have the older son that gets upset when his brother comes back and his father makes a feast for him. The older son gets upset and he doesn't like that he made a feast for him, and yet he never made a feast for the older son. And so he seems to think that he deserves more than what he got. So what the warning he is giving is he's warning the Pharisees of being self-righteous or thinking themselves to be better than others. And so there's a few warnings in this parable, a few applications that we get. One thing is in the beginning there, a warning to those who would pursue worldly pleasure. And you see how this son pursued everything that money could buy, and he ended up empty, having nothing, not even enough to eat. And such is the world. It will lead you on. It will give you a perception of something good to come, and yet it's constantly empty. There's nothing there. And so the other thing I thought about here is the devil is like this citizen of the far country. He is a harsh taskmaster. He is never gentle. He's always harsh. Like this verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So it seems like he was asked to feed the hogs, and yet he didn't even have anything to eat himself. Not even allowed to eat that which the hogs would eat. And so then he finally comes to his senses, and he realizes that if he thinks about it, that his father's servants are better off than he is. And so another picture of how the least in the kingdom of heaven is better off than the highest in this world, and how there is joy. I thought about also of you go past these bars or whatever, and so you see on a sign happy hour, certain time frame. And I thought about that already, and about how empty that is, that for 1 hour in a week or whatever, you can have this what's called happy hour. And that's all the world has to offer. It has nothing but this. There's no lasting happiness. Even that, you pay dearly for that indulging in those kind of things even, because it lifts you up for a little bit and then dumps you down even lower than what you were before. And that's just the way of the enemy, of the devil. He's a hard taskmaster. He will never give you any pleasure unless he can do it to bring you down lower afterwards. And that's just how he works. He tears down. And so, while on the other hand, even the least in the kingdom of heaven, the least in the Father's house, are so much better off than the best in the devil's kingdom, in the kingdom of this world. And so there's joy not only for 1 hour, but there's a continual life of joy. Joy flowing out of your life. And that's the life in the Spirit, the life that the Father offers. And so he arose and he went back and of course his father seems like he was watching for him. And while he was yet a great way off, verse 20, he arose and went to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And so here the father, just with open arms, received this son that has been such a rebel. But it's because he's repentant. He's wanting to come back. And what I see in this also is that there's hope for the worst of us who are repentant, who will come back. And, you know, again, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in light of their despising publicans and sinners. But Jesus always receives sinners who are repentant. And he's always ready to take them back, take them in. Now, one thing we do want to be careful here. I know of an argument that has been made already that Jesus would hang out in bars and places like that. Now, one of the things we need to be careful and we need to keep in mind is that Jesus was not out there taking part in their sin or out there with the sinners in their sin. But these were repentant sinners who had come to him and wanted to hear him. And that's who he had company with. It wasn't in a bar room somewhere where he was in the midst of rioting and things like that. No, these were sinners who had come and wanted to hear him. That's very clear in the first verse there. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And there's a big difference there, lest we fall into that deception where we can just associate with sinners, and because, you know, we will be corrupted by keeping company with sinful men who are just reveling in their sin. But we should be ready at any time to receive a repentant sinner, somebody who is willing to repent and to come to Jesus for cleansing. So there is hope for even the worst of us. The Father's always ready to receive. So he made a party for him. The Father said to him, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And there we see how Jesus, or how God, the Father himself, he doesn't say, go get yourself clean clothes. No, he himself has the best robe brought out and put on you, the robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, that we now have the righteousness of Christ, not the righteousness of ourselves, something that we put on, but something that has been put on us. And then that ring that was put in his hand, which is a signal, a symbol of authority. There's, as in the old days, they used that to stamp a document or something, and it had a specific symbol on it that you knew who that signature was, and it would validate that document. So he made a party for him, This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. And he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, asking what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to him, his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And so he is here being a little jealous. Wow, all this time he had all the things. He was the older brother too, and I don't know, you know, if this was a Jewish father and son, probably was in the context that he's talking. So in that case, being the elder brother, he would have also had a double portion of his father's goods, not only the same as his younger brother, but a double portion. So, and yet he was still angry and upset. And the other thing too, that his father comes out and entreats him. His father wants that relationship, and that's the other thing. The other whole thing about this story is, as you look at the compare the father with the son, is the relationship. The relationship to the father is more important than the goods that were wasted. The goods are more important to the son than the relationship. And so keep that in mind, that relationships are important. But he was angry, and he thought his father even owed him more. And yet he had all that he had. And one of the other things, too, that keep in mind as we think about that, you know, God gives, but he does not lose. He always has more. He never becomes less. He never, no matter how much he gives, his storehouse does not become any emptier than it was before. And that's something for us to keep in mind, that our brother can receive all the blessings that God pours out on him, and yet that does not make any less left over for us. We can all have, be a part of that complete blessing. So he said, and then he also, his son was also reminding him how he had served him all these years. And it sounds so much like the Pharisees, who, you know, wanted to brag about who they were and how good they were, even in their prayers, bragging to God. And yet they didn't realize that they were filthy, vile, and their own righteousness was like filthy rags to God. It was a stench to his nostrils. And so, and just the heart of the Father coming out here, he's so merciful. He so desires to have that relationship with us. So let us take warning also against this son, that we do not become like him, or like talks about one, that holier than thou attitude. But be always willing to receive repentant sinners. Receive them in. Help them out. Give them the best. So, may the Lord bless you. I think I'll bring it to a close there. And just thank you for calling in and listening. God bless you. Feed you who are hungry and searching. And give you peace and rest in the Father's house. The Lord bless you.